Hi everyone. The following is taken from The Nonsense of Marxism by Pierre Ramu and Franz Barwick, which is an anarchist critique of Marxism and Karl Marx himself. And I'll leave a link to that below in the description. The Communist Manifesto is the gospel of the Marxist, who considers it to be the epitome of all wisdom and is convinced of its so-called revolutionary content. However, this view does not stand up to critical scrutiny and only proves that all these Marxists who swear by the Communist Manifesto cannot distinguish the terms reactionary and revolutionary. First of all, it should be noted that the Communist Manifesto is not an original work by Marx and Engels, but in terms of content and form, a plagiarism of the French Fourierist Victor Considerant. Marx and Engels adopted the latter's ideas and expressed these views in their own peculiar form, but it is the most concise and clearest summary of Marxism. In the first part of the brochure, capitalist society is divided into bourgeois and proletarians, and this division is described as the result of class struggles. It is worth noting the fact that half of the first chapter actually does nothing but praise and admire the great achievements that capitalism is said to have brought. So it is praised that the cities have conquered the flat country. That is wrong, because today we can feel particularly strongly that conversely, the cities are completely dependent on the country. It is also commended that capitalism had snatched a significant portion of the population from the idiotism of rural life. Again, this is wrong, because the idiotism of the proletarian factory slave in the city is no less than that of the poor agricultural worker, and vice versa. The narrow-mindedness of an industrial or commercial bourgeois in the city is no greater than that of a herb squire in the country. Country life is naturally preferable to city life, and therefore the current situation caused by capitalism is to be regretted rather than glorified. Then it says literally, quote, like the bourgeoisie, the country from the city, it has made the barbaric and semi-barbaric countries dependent on the civilized, the peasant peoples on the bourgeois peoples, the Orient on the Occident. End quote. This clearly justifies the imperialist politics of the capitalist state. Imperialist war shows us that the so-called civilized peoples cannot be surpassed in terms of barbarism at all. The opposite of what Marx says is correct. Capitalism has horribly displaced mankind. If it continues to exist, it threatens to completely destroy the last remnants of the good natural disposition of people, mutual aid, and free society. These characteristics necessary for socialism are far better developed among some tribal people. All of Marx's views are highly reactionary. In the Communist Manifesto, Marx and Engels say that one of the purposes of the communists is formation of the proletariat into a class. So was it not a class before? Overthrow of the bourgeois rule, conquest of political power by the proletariat. Later, however, it is said that the, quote, communist revolution is the most radical break with the traditional ownership structure. End quote. But instead of going on to explain what this means, it is suddenly told again that the first step towards the workers' revolution is to raise the proletariat to the ruling class. That is, quote, to fight for democracy. Firstly, the use of democracy means using a hitherto bourgeois medium. Secondly, the history of previous revolutions also teaches us, and the experiences under the German Social Democratic Government have confirmed to us, that the recognition of democracy after a revolution always leads to its abdication. So just a mess of ambiguities, contradictions, and self-denials are contained in these sentences, but no trace of communism. This is understandable because so-called communism, as Marx and Engels sees it, is not communism at all, but state collectivism. While today the producers of commodities are dependent on private capitalists in the use of the production instruments, according to Marx and Engels, and if they had their way, this would be the state, the power that would have to rule over the life and death of the people. The proletariat would remain the proletariat because it would still not be in possession of the means of production. The Communist Manifesto assumes that the state will gradually die off, dissolve itself. This assumption stands against all experiences in nature and society. A species never turns into its opposite, which is why the state, a means of oppression and exploitation, will never become a society of the free. A state has never committed suicide. Rather, it will increasingly become a factor of power and oppression. 1,000 proofs can be given that every form of government fights with tremendous tenacity for its maintenance and against its abolition. Noskovism and Bolshevism too held and abused all ministerial, political and legal offices in exactly the same way as any other form of government. The party and trade union bigwigs are the state powers, the dictators in the socialist state. But already in the present, under the capitalist form, they form a class of their own that works against the interests of the proletariat, at least permanently inhibiting its vigour. They admit that themselves. So they will not work for the death of the state in the state socialist economy, because the death of the state would definitely take away their privileges and positions of authority. Finally, the Communist Manifesto recommends some measures to apply, but they are all reactionary, including 1. Expropriation of real estate and use of basic rent for government expenditure. The starving proletarians would have none of this. According to Marx, they should pay a basic pension for the cultivation of the land to meet the high government expenditures. 2. Strong progressive tax, so money and tax systems should be maintained, which is capitalist and not socialist. 3. Abolition of inheritance law in favour of the state, so everything for the Moloch state, nothing for the people. 4. Confiscation of property from all emigrants and rebels. Anyone who does not agree with the measures of the state dictators will be robbed of their property, of course, in favour of the state. 5. Centralisation of credit in the hands of the state through a national bank with an exclusive monopoly. No banks are necessary in a socialist society, only in a capitalist society. But the monopoly is the biggest evil there too. Monopoly is the opposite of the common economy, the opposite of socialism. 6. Centralisation of transportation. Workers and the public have become sufficiently familiar with the anti-people effects of this system at the railway and post office and are getting to know it better every day. 7. Compulsory work for all through the establishment of industrial and agricultural armies. Militarisation of all economic life. According to the Communist Manifesto, in the socialist state it would look like this. They, the chosen leaders, command, rule, but are free from productive work. The masses work on command, under force of arms, similar to what is already done today in prisons, barracks and monasteries. These reactionary ideas are not even new and original. The management of the latifundia by huge hordes of slaves was already the predominant agricultural activity of the ruined large property in ancient Rome over 3 centuries before Christ. So a turning back to prehistoric, horrific conditions would mean Marxism, and as Rome had to perish in those conditions at the time, the introduction of this system would only mean the enslavement of mankind. There is no word in the entire so-called Communist Manifesto about the abolition of the wage system. Marx and Engels do not touch the question of remuneration for human labour at all. This is understandable, again, because examining this question would only have given them two options, neither of which would have suited. Either the remuneration is based on the work performed, that would not be possible because a state can never grant producers the full return of their labour because they have to collect a large part of the labour income to maintain it. Or all members of society are given food, clothing and the rest of their needs. In the latter case, however, the compulsory state is an absurdity because without economic means of coercion, i.e. without the threat of starvation or the like, no so-called communist state could enforce its will against unruly minorities. But if he can do this, he ceases to be a communist, and we are left with a present state with exploitation. In order not to clarify these facts, Marx and Engels had to remain silent about it and leave everything to the course of development. So we see that Marx and Engels, in the so-called Communist Manifesto, falsified a fake communism for the real one. As communist ideas became more and more widespread at the time, Marx and Engels provided their reactionary state capitalist ideas with the false heading Communist Manifesto. Because Marxism has accepted these ideas, true communism has been forgotten by the workers, and the necessary transformation of the capitalist economy into the communist one has now proved to be extremely difficult. Thank you for listening, everyone. All the best.